So I hope I'm not asking the kids to do something that we don't do. Do you recognize that the Lord disciplines you? And then what do you say when he does? It's a hard thing to say thank you for difficult things, isn't it? Let's pray. Lord, we just turn to you now. We ask, Lord, that you would open your word up to us. Lord, that you would change our hearts and our minds. That we would make the adjustments that we need to make to do all that you have prepared in advance for us to do. In Jesus' name. You know, there's always something trying to stop us from being great. And I don't mean great in the world's eyes. I mean, when we do what God has prepared in advance for us to do and what he's called us to do, it's a great thing. And there's always something trying to stop us from that. So, one of the things that I try to keep open to in my life are the corrections that God brings, adjustments. You know, I think tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. And, you know, the foundation of this country, we have some adjustments, some major adjustments that we need to make in this country. And who knows if we will make them or not. But I see that, our foundation as a country was strong. And one of the major adjustments that we needed to make, I think that one of those things Martin Luther King brought to our attention, and other people did too, but he did in such a dramatic and passionate fashion. And whether you agree or not with all the ways the adjustments were made, I think that those were definitely course corrections that we needed to make as a drastic things needed to happen as a country. And we still have some drastic things today. And at the time, people didn't feel like it was a drastic thing. You know that? People didn't recognize the horrendousness of things that were going on in this country, a country that valued equality. And yet some very horrible things were going on. And the country as a whole did not recognize that. And I think the same sometimes is true in our lives. We need to make some adjustments. And that's always clouded. We don't, when we're in the midst of it, just like the example I used with Martin Luther King, he had to give this message over and over and powerfully, and there was much resistance to it. And that same thing we find in our lives, when there's our course needs to be changed, and so we need to make some adjustments. We don't always see, even if it's plain, it's obvious, as that was obvious. Yet, at that time in history, it wasn't so obvious to people. And so in our life, in the present, there are a lot of times we have course corrections that we need to make. And you don't always get that voice like was had in this country. You don't always have that voice like Martin Luther King, that powerful message. And so a lot of times it comes in the form of when we're here on Sunday, when you hear something on the radio, when you read in your Bible, and a course correction needs to happen. And I've thought of it often as sailing. You know, when you're, I've never sailed much, but I did used to have a windsurfer. And if you're gonna sail, you have to always tack. If you want to get somewhere, it's like you go this direction, you always have to make these adjustments to get where you're going. And I'm just asking you and me to make the adjustment, to get where God wants us to go. I want to get there. I know you do too. It's painful, though, to get there. To adjust our course is painful. To admit that we need to adjust our course. And the thing I was talking to the children about this morning, so many times when the disciplined hand of the Lord comes, it's when we really needed to make a course adjustment long ago. Long ago. And like I said, historically, when we look back, we see things plainly that needed to change. When we look back and we see the things that were going on in this country that had such high ideals, yet some things, the ideals were right, but the actions were not. And so, when we look back on our life someday, we're going to say, that was obvious. I needed to make an adjustment. And at the time, I refused to see it. So, there may be some adjustments that you need to make, that I need to make, some course correction to get where God wants you to go, to do what God wants you to do. It's always my belief that God has great plans for us together, great plans individually. He wants to do, He made you in a certain way for certain things, and He wants that to be fulfilled. He does. He's going to give you every opportunity to do it. So, maybe that's a part of today. Maybe God wants you to make a course correction today. And really today we're going to talk about what we talked about last week. And I really just have one thing to add to it. One emphasis that I want you to get from today. I want your eyes to be open to something, or just reminded of something. And we'll get to it. But I just want you to be aware that this may have to do with a course correction for you, to get where God wants you to go. So, you remember last week before, we talked about a promised land mentality, or a wilderness mentality. And I believe one of the secrets to having this promised land mentality that we talked about is what we're dealing with today, and that is prayer. I think it is the secret to having a promised land mentality. So, we talked about this last week. We'll do a quick review of how do we do this. How do we get to be a praying person? How do we get to be a praying church? Obviously, to become a praying church, it has to be full of praying people, right? It's not something we just say all together. Togetherness and unity, that's awesome, and we can call prayer meetings, but if we're not a praying people individually, then we're not a praying church. So, if Carmen, if you're not really praying, or Kevin or Kathleen, you're not praying, Sam, Joseph, if you're not praying, you know, if you guys are not, if I'm not praying, then we're not a praying church. If you're not praying, we're not a praying church. So, if we are going to do all that God's called us to do, if this is missing, we miss the mark. Do you see that? It's like this thing of being aligned with God's purposes. Don't you agree you have to be aligned with God's purposes to hit the mark, to do what God's called you to do, to be who He's called you to be? That is prayer. That in itself is prayer. To be in agreement with God's purpose and calls in your life and in the world, that's prayer. That is a pretty good definition of prayer. So how do we do this? And last week I gave you this simple, simple assignment. Did you do it? Do you remember what it was? I see that. Hope he doesn't call on me, look. Maybe we should start doing that, calling on people or anything. Once I get going, I'm hard to stop. See, I've already started calling names right off, so I can be hard to stop when I get on a roll in more ways than one. Okay. I talked to you about what's your desire. You remember that? What is it that you desire? What's your deepest need? Your deepest longing? And most of you, I have a feeling, most of you knew immediately what that was. And my encouragement to you was, just take that to God. Why don't you take that to God? Did you guys do that at all this week? That deepest longing? Some of you did. That is a starting place. So I can give you a schedule and say, I want you to get up at this time and pray every day, or I want you to do this. But you know, I think God operates just a little bit differently than that, and we'll try to keep in step with God. Daniel had this deep desire. He wanted to go home. He wanted to go home. Not Texas. He wanted to go home. He wanted to get back to where his roots were, his family, his history, his religion, everything was there. He had that deep longing in his soul for that. And he ran to God with it. And when he did, you'll see, he became that step of getting to God, getting in the presence of God, that you can drive down the interstate and you can pray. Don't you guys pray and drive sometimes? If you can, I know some people text and drive, but this hopefully is not as distracting as pray. I bet most everybody here has done that. But praying and driving, I think, is a little safer. But still, You know, there's something that those things, there's an intensity when you really are bringing your, you think about whatever that deep longing and need was, it seems a little bit, it doesn't fit so well when you're flying down I-15 with that, and you're sharing your deepest, utmost longing with God. I think it's something that's, it's a little more uncomfortable than that. It takes a little bit of, I don't know if the right term, of effort, of desire to get before God with those things. And when you do, the thing we discovered last week, when you get before God with that deepest longing, desire, you're pouring your heart out to Him, and He can take it. You know what I mean? Because when we have our deepest longing, desire, sometimes there's a negative thing in there too, isn't there? Why haven't you done this yet, God? Doesn't that go along with it, kind of? Why haven't you already fixed this, God? This is wrong. You bring that with you. Bring it with you. God can take it. And what He does, when you come, if you come in honesty and sincerity, your heart, your mind will be changed. You'll find your desires begin to align with His desire. You'll find, like Daniel, when he brought that to God, pretty soon, Daniel still was praying for the same thing, but he had his motive would have made an adjustment. He was now praying, God, do this for your own honor and glory. And he wasn't praying that in the sense of buttering God up. He was praying that in the sense of, my heart really desires this, the honor of God, that God's name be glorified, and that's now my motive for praying this prayer. Maybe it was in the beginning, maybe it needed a little adjustment, but when he began to pray, this is when it came out. Is what his concern was. So, as we go through this, you can, we're back in Daniel chapter 9, and it'll help if you'll open there. And we won't read all these verses again, but in Daniel 9, 1 through 3, there's some things. So, you know, I started off in this sense. Maybe a lot of really strict Bible teachers would have wanted me to, this whole thing I just gave you, guys that I really, really agree with, would have wanted me to start differently. They would have wanted me to start here. God's Word. You see, I think God is not so narrow and put in a box. And God knows where we are. And God cares where we are. And He wants us to come to a different place. And He says in this, and you see it all through, come to me. Come to me. Ask. Come to me. We'll deal with this stuff, but come on. Come and talk to me. Come and talk to me. And then, but you see Daniel here though, he says, so that was his passion. But he was reading God's Word, and out of this reading of God's Word flowed what he should ask God. So, I'm just saying, go ahead and move, okay? Go ahead and make your course correction by coming to God Himself. God's Word is simply an avenue, in a sense, to God. It's like, this is, you notice, we don't throw people in prison or burn them at the stake if they spit on this book or they throw it in the fire or whatever. We don't get all upset about that, because this word's on a page. But when we read this and the Holy Spirit makes it come alive to us and we see God, we understand Him more through it. So as you read His Word, you understand what to pray for. It gives you the direction to your prayer. But do you have to have some disciplined Bible reading program before you come to God with your need? No. That's not how God operates. It's not. You go ahead. You come to God. You'll be drawn to His Word. You'll learn how to pray. But don't try to learn and then come to God. Just go ahead. Come on. Then you'll see, and you'll follow along as you, on your outline there on the back of the bulletin. We won't read all these verses, but you can glance at them. This gives you a little sequence of events here. And then you see, he was reading and desiring God. He had this desire that he's bringing to God about going home, going back, bringing the people back to Jerusalem. And then you'll see he flows right. He didn't start off with this thing of boom, 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 like, okay, now I worship, now I confess. As he came to God, and as the Word revealed things to him, He became aware of his sin. You see, God didn't say, no, don't come to me until you've taken care of all that stuff. And then as he was moving towards God and as he was pouring his heart out to God, God wasn't hitting him over the head, but he became aware of, oh, here I am coming to God. I'm in his presence. And I've got this thing I haven't taken care of. And he began to repent. And God's not beating him up. God's smiling. God, he was favored in God's eyes, but here he is repenting. He's repenting. He's worshiping. And then he asked God for this thing, this desire that he has. And his foundation for asking that is not because he's been a really good guy, and not because he's done all this great stuff, not because he's obeyed. His foundation for asking God these things is the very character of God. That means God's compassion, God's mercy, God's grace. That is the foundation on which he asked God to meet his request. It's not because he's been a good boy. It's because God is holy, and God is compassionate, and God loves. That's why he's asking him. And God was pleased with this request. God was pleased with this. But you see, Daniel was a praying man. This wasn't the first time. This wasn't the first time he had come to God like this. This was his habit. And because this was his habit and coming in contact with the great God of the ages, almighty, loving, gracious God, he comes in contact with this God. What do you think happens to Daniel? Does he remain the same? How could that be? He does not remain the same. He wasn't on this course, this discipleship course of improving his character. He was running to God, bumping into God. And it changed him. It changed his character, changed who he was. And the answer came. The answer came. But you know what? Daniel's prayer, as we talked about this last, it was answered in part, but it was not answered. It was not this full answer he was looking for, and it still isn't answered. But it's going to be. It's going to be. It won't be till the end of time that his prayer is going to be fully and completely answered. And then we see down in chapter 10, verses 2, 3, and 12 to 14, you can glance down there. There was an exhausting struggle of prayer. This is what I'm talking about. This is why you're not driving on I-15 and praying like this. Okay? Because there is a struggle. He was on the ground. He was intensely seeking God. So, here we have this man, Daniel, highly esteemed of God, it says. We read that last week. You see, Sam and I talked about this a little bit briefly this morning, and one thing that came out of my thoughts in this, and Sam's, I think this might have come from you, Sam, I don't even remember, is that God appreciated that. That's a way of saying he was highly esteemed. God appreciated that. He liked it that Daniel would run to him with this desire and in this fashion. It was like it became well known in heaven that this man, Daniel, was coming to God with his deepest desire. And then that it started out with repentance, and that it flowed out of the word, and it flowed out of a deep desire, and that he believed God. He believed God would respond. Yet, there's a mixture of doubt in there, isn't there? When you come to God, isn't there some? You see, God's not this thing of, oh, you're at 98% faith, come back when you're at 100%, and I'll answer your prayer. Come on to God. He will increase your faith as you come to him. So, Daniel was alone and prayed. That doesn't mean he didn't get with his friends and pray. That doesn't mean he didn't have prayer meetings. He did all that stuff. But really, this kind of praying, it really is, it's talking about alone praying. And if you look back, whether it's Jacob wrestling on the banks of the river, or Abraham standing out under the stars and praying, this is alone kind of praying. It's not you depending on somebody else's words or inspiration. It's you and God. You coming to God with your deepest longings. How deep do your longings have to get before you turn to God like this? this is not just for the Andrew Murrays. It's not just for the Pauls and the Peters. It's not just for the great ones you read about or hear about. This is for all of us to meet God in this fashion. So, what I want you to be aware of today is something that's going on behind the scenes. So a glimpse behind the scenes. We don't get it that often in Scripture, but we get it right here in Daniel chapter 10. A little, you know, this thing of the curtains are thrown back for just a minute. Let's go ahead and read this. This will stir up a little bit of whoa kind of feeling, I think, because your me thought is going to probably be, oh, that's the Old Testament. The New Testament speaks with the same kind of language, and we'll read those at some point today also. Uses the same sort of language. But let's go to chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. And I know we already read these verses. We read this last week. But I want you to come away. See, I need to repeat this because last week I wanted you to come away with this thing, bring my desire to God. That's what I wanted from last week. So now you're going to have to double up if you didn't follow through on that. Double up, and this week I want you to be aware there's something going on behind the scenes that you can't see and that you probably are unaware of. That's where Daniel was. The man of God that Daniel was, he didn't know this stuff was going on until somebody told him. Face to face, told him, and he didn't know it. So let's see what he found out. Starting with verse 12. Then he continued. This is an angel that appeared to him. Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. He didn't. This is the first he's heard that his words were heard. This is 21 days later. And I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. That doesn't mean he was sitting and having tea. That's not the kind of detainment we have going on here. This is struggle. Angel versus good angel versus bad angel. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. Have you ever seen those little behind the scenes kind of movie where it shows you how the movie was made? You ever see those things? And I saw one of those one time, and it was like a, because so many things that happen in the movie, I mean, if you have some guy with a sword and he's fighting a dinosaur and chopping his head off and all, you know, something like that. You guys watch those violent movies. That's kind of hard to have a camera on and see all that stuff, right? So you have this guy with a sword, and there's a blue screen behind him, and he's got this sword and he's out there, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's by himself. He's like, he's having to have expressions on his face, fear and anger, and he's fighting nothing. He can't see anything. And then you see that, and you go, it looks so fake. It looks so fake. He's there swinging his sword in the air. It looks almost humorous. And then later, though, when you see them add the scenery in, you see him add in the dinosaur, and you see all this stuff, he goes, whoa, it's a, wow, now I see the whole picture. And even the guy that's in the scene, even him, the actor, I'll guarantee you he doesn't really get the picture until he sits down and watches the movie. Because he's just the guy swinging the sword. He doesn't really see all he sees. He doesn't see anything. He's just told, fight. So he's swinging his sword. That's like our lives. We don't see. We do not see all that's going on. Now, you see, Daniel, He's been battling for 21 days. It's like 21 days. He's the guy there swinging his sword. He doesn't know what's going on. And then 21 days later, the guy says, here, watch the movie. Watch this clip. That's what was happening. That's what was going on. There was this ferocious war in a realm that you don't see. And this is reality. It was going on. So every now and then, we get a glimpse of what is going on. You know, I don't know that Job ever got the full story, but we're told in Job chapter 1, verse 6. You guys remember that? Where you can look it up if you want. It's like there's the angels appearing before God, and there's Satan waiting in line to talk to God. He can just talk to him about Job and say, look, your guy, he's obeying. Sure, he has it easy. You've been protecting him. Now, let me bring some challenge into his life and see what happens. You see, Job's the guy with the sword down here. He doesn't get the privilege. He doesn't see all that. He doesn't see it. He's just down here wondering what is going on. It's because he didn't see that. There's an unseen world. This is what I want us to be aware of this morning. There's an unseen world. Daniel has a part in this drama, but he doesn't see everything that's going on. God is the producer and the writer, the originator of this thing. But our part still must be played out with faith and passion. We have to fight the battles. There are good times and there are difficult times. And we don't get to know what's going on behind the scenes. There are glimpses, though, that reveal there's more to this world than meets the eye. And this is one glimpse right here. You know, it's easy for us to believe this about Daniel. It's easy for us to even to read prophecies from Revelation about what's going to happen in the future and how all this stuff is going on in the unseen world. We can believe it, but can we believe it right now? And when we pray, we are entering into this battle. And it's what changes the course of our lives and those around us. That, you can't take away this thing that God is writing the script. He's in control. So I'm not saying that we change God or His direction, but we get in sync with God. And this is the way He's chosen to do it. So if you think that this is just Old Testament stuff, then let's go to a familiar verse, just to remind you. Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 11 and 12. I know that this is familiar to you. We'll start with verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. That sounds a bit like what Daniel was doing, doesn't it? That we are fighting a battle that we cannot see. It was from Daniel's prayer. Daniel was just a man. It was Daniel's prayer that sent this angel on his mission. Like God's there. He has the mission for the angel. And he's, in a sense, this may not be completely accurate, but he's saying he's waiting. Daniel, pray. Daniel, pray. Pray. Daniel, pray. All you have to do is ask. Come on. As soon as he starts to pray, go. He sends. And he gives the enemy a certain amount of power. This is power from God that he can fight. So he fights against. He fights against what God's doing. But Daniel keeps praying. Daniel keeps praying. And he overcomes. He overcomes. So whether you're praying for your deepest longing, you see, once you get that situated and it's God's desire, there's going to be a force that fights against you. there's an enemy, and he's fighting. It only makes sense. He's fighting against God. As soon as your prayer is aligned with God's desires, is when the battle comes, right? As long as you're just praying for your own selfish needs, and you never really get in contact with God, and you never really, your heart and mind never gets changed, you don't have a battle. Why? He's the enemy of God. As soon as you're in line with God's purposes, it's on. It's on. There is a fight now. And you read through Daniel, there was a struggle. There was a struggle going on there. And the forces, read through that. This is not just idle words. They're organized. It's laid out like different levels of authority. Now, we're not going to try to take this any further than the information we're given. Some people do that. Some people take this too far. They try to say things that they don't know. Well, we know they're organized. And there's a potent force. Just look through Ephesians there, New Testament stuff. It says they're organized. This is the way they're set up, like an army. And they are against what God has called us to do. They're fighting against us. And if we're going to fight this fight, do you think it's through discipline? Do you think it's through your education? Do you think what? Prayer. Prayer. Prayer that's in agreement with our weapon of God's Word. Paul says in Romans 15:30, he says he's asking them to join with him in his struggle. Or other versions, he'll say, strive with me or agonize with me. He's referring to prayer. Join me in this spiritual battle. Because we are fighting a spiritual battle. It's not casual. It's not casual. Read through Daniel praying there. Does that sound like he's just going through his, okay, dear Lord, here's my list. Okay, Lord, don't bless the missionaries. Oh, and help Steve. Help Steve. Yeah, he's preaching. Help my family. And yeah, that's okay. Yeah, pray. But there's a level of bringing your deepest longings to God that opens up doors to really pray. To really pray. I don't think we stop the forces of evil by saying, okay, oh God, bless the missionaries. Oh God, you know. I think it has to be genuine. It has to be, in a sense, I would even say, passionate. We know the end of the movie. We know how it all turns out. And we don't get to see all the scenes. We're out there. We don't get to see what's around us. We don't get, like Daniel did. He just got a glimpse into it. We don't always get those glimpses. But we are called to fight. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10:3. I'll remind you that many people, do you guys believe that the enemy, Satan, who has people in bondage, don't you believe that? In slavery? He has people in slavery. That means if they haven't been delivered by the blood of Christ, they haven't put their faith in Christ, they are in bondage. Do you think that person that's in bondage has any power to fight the forces of evil? They have no knowledge of it. They have no... We are to fight that fight for them. Now, you could take what I'm saying too far. The Holy Spirit, He's the one that calls. He's the one that reveals. He does. But this is a part of what God does. We pray. It's a part of how God moves His purpose and calls along in the world. We have a part in it, in the drama. And we don't get to see. We just don't get to see everything that goes on. Verses 3 through 5 of 2 Corinthians 10. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. That is speaking of enemy territory. The we pray in alignment with God's word, and there's power to demolish strongholds. Prayer, of course, is much more than a battle. Secret prayer may be the best gauge of a person's relationship with God. Not their knowledge, not their discipline, but their prayer life, real prayer life, may be the best gauge of a person's relationship to God. So do you see what when I talk about, are we going to make a difference in the world? You know, last week I talked about, we have that list of, you know, teenage boys there and one girl, but the teenage boys on the whiteboard, that names that you don't know, but yet there's a purpose in that. And what is it going to take? What's it going to take? And that's just, I'm just using that for an example, because you have many examples of people in your workplace and all your, and that's just, and even that is just one thing that God's doing and desiring to do. What you see, this is not just the human realm. There's an unseen world at work there. And when we pray, in that sense, we're entering into that spiritual battle, into that unseen world. And you say, well, I don't feel, I'm just out here, I feel like I'm just by myself, just slashing at the wind. Well, wait till you see the whole movie. You're going to be shocked. Now, that won't be seen until sometime way later, hopefully. But wait till you see the whole movie. We are going to be shocked when we see the whole picture. As Daniel, Daniel's just a man just like us. And all of a sudden he's going, whoa, angels are flying in here and talking about battles and my prayer sending him out. And we're going to have stories too. You're going to have stories too. So why not? Why not? Look, there's an intimacy with God. There's a being aligned with His purpose. There's doing all He's called you to do. And none of those things are taking place until you enter the fray. Until you learn how to pray. So, when I say, just take the step. Just take the step. You have a deep desire. You have a longing. Well, take that to God. Take that. He's going to do something with it. He's going to do something with it. And then down to verses 18 and 19. There was a struggle. There was a struggle. You read in here, he was exhausted. It was days. There was an intense spiritual battle, a struggle going on. But Daniel's praying resulted in peace and strength. Verses 18 and 19. You won't find those in 2 Corinthians. Again, one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed, he said. Peace. Be strong now. Be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. That's all.